Speaker tonight has been Delaney Rapp. He served with Southside Church of Christ there in Lubbock, Texas. We'll let him come in his own way. Brother Rapp, the Church of Christ, come from Luke chapter 24, 46 through 49. Brother Rapp.
Thank you, Brother Brooks, for giving me the opportunity to speak tonight for this nationwide gospel meeting call and for the Highland Heights Church of Christ in Houston, Texas, to make this possible for us to be able to present these lessons Monday through Thursday, every day during the week, Father. Our topic for tonight is the Church of Christ, Luke 24:46-49. I'd ask all of you to get your Bibles out, follow along with me, and let's follow close to God's Word and what it has to say for each of us tonight. Reading from Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 24-46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. I would like for each one of us to look together tonight concerning this topic. I want us to be like the Bereans that were no more noble than those in Thessalonica in Acts the 17th chapter in verse 11, and yet they search the scriptures daily to make sure that things that are being caught and said are the truth. Now I want you to do that very thing tonight as we study together, to search the scriptures to make sure this is the truth from God's inspired word. The Church of Christ is the greatest institution on earth. It is heaven-born, purchased with the blood of Christ, and filled with the Holy Spirit. The establishment within the Church of Christ, was in the mind of God from the beginning. God's word reveals his great purpose concerning the Church of Christ and the human family. And in the beginning, God created Adam in his own image in Genesis 1:27. Later, man should be not alone, so God decided to take the rib from the side of Adam, and he brought and created a woman for the man to be a helpmate in Genesis 2:22. Adam and Eve were perfect, sinless, with the power to choose between good and evil. Adam and Eve sinned and spoiled God's plan concerning them. Satan's temptation was too great for them. Is it too great for you and I? In Genesis 3 chapter, we read about the fall of man. Adam and Eve sinned and spoiled God's plan concerning them. Adam and Eve were told not to eat the tree which was in the midst of the garden. And God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die, in Genesis 3:3. But we find where Adam and Eve would not listen. Eve took the bait, didn't she? Then Adam pursued right along and did the same thing. The rest of the chapter then, going further, tells us about how Adam and Eve were to live the rest of their lives in the garden there, and that he would have to tend the garden and that she would bear children. The first primary or promise of the Bible of the future was a promise of the deliverer from sin. In Genesis 3:15, we find, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is Satan talking now. We're talking about, this is about the enemy of the souls of Satan. His seed and her seed contains the promise of a child. The term seed is translated as an offspring or descendants. The seed of the woman is the promised one, the coming of the Messiah. The bruising of the head and the defeat of Satan's seed would come about when Jesus went to the cross. He was bruised in his heel, and that is, he suffered a terrible death, a terrible injury. John 12:31, Galatians 2:15, And in his resurrection, he defeated his enemy, Satan, the devil. For some 1,500 years, man multiplied the earth, and so did sin. In Genesis 6, chapter verses 1 through verse 13, we can find about all the wickedness that went on during this time. So God declared that he would destroy all. But Noah, descendant of Adam's son, Seth, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah obeyed God's divine command to build an ark, just as God had told him in Genesis 6, 13 through 22. Write that down. Noah, Genesis 6, 13 through 22. Noah and his wife and their three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives were saved from the destruction of the flood. You can find that very plain. They were saved because they did exactly, Noah and his wife and their three sons, what they had been told to do, and built that ark according to God's plan. Now let us consider prophecy. The books of the prophecy point to one great event. That's the coming of God's Son into the world as what? As Savior and Lord. The prophecies run like a golden thread down through the Old Testament, unfolding God's plan for you and I. God chose Israel as a distinct nation, and doing so as part of this divine preparation for this great event and for this nation, he chose them for a distinct people. In Daniel the 7th chapter and verse 14 we read, "And there was given him dominion and glory in the kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed." Who does his him refer to? It refers to the Son of Man in verse 13. "And will reign all over things, on everything." All other references, 1 Corinthians 15, 27, 28, Ephesians 1, 20 through 23, Colossians 2, 9 through 11. Consider Micah in the Old Testament now. In Micah, the 4th chapter, verses 2 through 3. "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of what? The Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord's house, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Are you paying attention to this now? Pay close attention. Let's continue. Let's move on. In Isaiah, the 28th chapter and 16th verse, we read, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a clad stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." The Lord promised his future kingdom and foundation would be a firm foundation, and justice and faith would come forth. The term "Ale" refers, of course, to the future. And the apostles identified the stone as a foundation, and that would be Jesus Christ. Also in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verses 4 through 8, speaks about the cornerstone there. First of all, we read about the Lord's house was to be established again. Where is it to be established? In Jerusalem. Second thing, the Lord's house will be exalted. And what would all nations do? They would flow unto it. Third, the time of fulfillment would be when? In the latter days. God, having separated the Israelites from the nations, gave them a special law. And who did he give that to? Gave it through Moses. which required complete obedience at all times. This was the law of Moses, of course. It was the last until the promised seed should come. Galatians 3:19. It was given to the Jews only in Deuteronomy 5:3. It was part of the old covenant. In John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth comes through who? Through Jesus Christ. The coming of Christ was heralded by the prophets since before Jesus was born. His miraculous birth, born of a virgin, the nature of his own mission to save the souls and save people from their sins, his rejection by his own people, the Jews, his suffering before and on the cross and after the cross, suffering there for 6 long hours after he had been beaten so and hanging on that cross like he did. His sacrifice of himself for the sins of mankind, the establishment of his kingdom, the church, its everlasting dominion was all foretold by the prophets century before. The first 4 books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, reveal the Savior and furnish the material for a life-giving faith. John 30:31, we read this in the Bible. Verse 20 and 31. And many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. What about the preparation now? John the Baptist, of course, was sent by God to the Jews to prepare the way of the Lord. He went about teaching them to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 3:2. John the Baptist was not the Messiah or the Son of God, like some thought and some wanted him to be. John said in verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He's talking about Jesus here. The law of Moses was in effect during the lifetime of John the Baptist and Christ as well, until Christ died on the cross. When Jesus was baptized with John in the Jordan River, the Spirit of the God descended like a dove of lightning upon him from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In Christ's personal ministry, he was laying the foundation of his church. In Matthew 16:18, Christ said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, here talking about, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, did we hear any other foundation mentioned other than Jesus Christ in this, speaking of this, talking about foundation? The apostles in Matthew 10:6-7, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus' resurrection, he commanded his disciples to take the good news, the gospel, to the people. In verse 12, the disciples, and later were called the apostles in Matthew 2:10, and were named there if you want to take a look at that. Matthew 10:2 and following. Christ promised the seed the Holy Spirit to guide the apostles in all truth. In John 16 and verse 13, and commissioned the apostles and instructed them to wait in Jerusalem, as we've already mentioned several times, for the Holy Spirit before beginning. Now, what is the Holy Spirit anyway? There's things I want to consider. The Holy Spirit ministry was threefold. It was to guide them in all truth, to tell of future, and to help glorify Christ in all things. Let's read again in Luke, the 24th chapter, and verse 46 through 49. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to what? To suffer, and to rise from the dead on the third day. So Jesus arose from the grave on the third day after being put in that tomb. And then in verse 47, the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning again where? Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. They were to wait until they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, until they went out teaching and preaching the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. After Christ had blessed the apostles, in Acts, the first chapter, 8 through 11, here we see where Christ parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And now what about the fulfillment of these promises and these prophecies we're talking about? The apostles were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, which was 50 days after the feast of the Passover. There was a very huge, large crowd that had already gathered there because of the Passover that was going on. The apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit as Jesus had promised. And this is going to mark the beginning of the church. In Matthew 10, 6 and 7, again, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as ye go preach, saying, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now we need to turn to Acts, the second chapter, and see what's taking place in Acts, the second chapter, and read together concerning what's taking place here. This is very important for us all to think about and study together this evening. As we mentioned, reading together from the second chapter of Acts, beginning on verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a shout from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as fire, set upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout Jews, men out of every nation under heaven. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. In other words, they were confused because that every man heard them speak in their own language. Do you think it's by accident that the apostles, as they were beginning to speak and teach about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the people that this was an accident? No. Verse 4 made that very plain, that they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with these other tongues and gave them utterance. They were able to speak because they were guided by the Holy Spirit and gave them words to speak that the other languages, because there were so many different types of languages at this time on the day of Pentecost, assembled together at this time. But they were so confused, they couldn't understand. How can they be speaking like this? We understand them. And they questioned that. And verse 8 says, and how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? They just couldn't figure that out. And the verses following 9 through 11, it names all the nations that were gathered together at that time on the day of Pentecost. But notice in verse 12, they began to, because they were amazed and they were in doubt, so they would begin to question, of course. I wonder if I were there, if you were there, would I question? Would you question it? If you heard someone being able to speak in a language that you had never heard someone speak before, but you could understand them speaking and understand what they were saying in their own tongue, the apostles were able to do that. So, what were they going to do anyway? What were they going to... They had to question them about it, didn't they? And so, verse 12 says, they were amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? So others mocking said, these men are full of wine. So they're going to be accusing them of being drunk at this time. They've been drinking. They're full of wine. But notice what happens. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Now listen, these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Well, they wouldn't be drinking during this time of the day. And Peter makes that plain to them. But continued on then in his remarks, and it came to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that a noble day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now listen to this, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. They had witnessed these miracles that Jesus had been able to perform. So they knew a little bit about Jesus at this time, and was able to perform these signs and wonders and miracles. yet they would still didn't believe. But him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, listen to this, you have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain. Peter's landed on the line here now. He's telling the people that you were the ones that crucified Jesus. You nailed him to that cross. You took him to the cross and hung him there. Nailed his feet and his hands to the cross. You are the ones. Verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosened the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Jesus would arise victorious over the grave on the third day, according to the scriptures. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to seek corruption. Thou hast made known me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his supper is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither shall his flesh did he see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has said forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord is said unto my Lord, set thou on my right hand, until I make thy footstool. Therefore, pay close attention to the rest of this now. Therefore, that all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified both Lord and Christ. So he told them again, you crucified him, but he is both Lord and Christ. Now, when they had heard this, they were pricked, or they were touched in the heart, and Peter said unto the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What are they going to do? What shall they do? What's the answer? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were what? Were baptized, and the same day were added to them about 3,000 souls. and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. This verse 36 through 42 is that first gospel sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost unto the Jewish people. He preached Christ unto them, and they began to wonder what they must do. Peter answered them, and he told them in verse 38, very plain, if there's any doubt in your mind about what you should do, if you're not having obeyed the gospel, the plan of salvation, Peter said, and told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we, when we receive the word into our hearts, and we believe what has been taught unto us, the plan of salvation has been revealed to us, as just Peter revealed unto the people on the day of Pentecost, and they believed it. In John 20 and verse 31, in Hebrews 11 and 6, they were told to repent. They were told to change their mind or change their hearts. In Luke 13 and 3, in Acts 17 and 30, they were told to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Romans 10 and verse 10, and Acts 8, 37. In order for them to be saved, then they must be baptized. It's not all just to simply say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Or, you know, so many today say that just say this sinner's prayer with me. No, you can't find that in the Bible. It's not in the Bible at all. Because one must be baptized. One must first of all make that wonderful confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then be baptized, immersed in that watery grave of baptism. Having received the forgiveness of their sins, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, coming up out of that watery grave, becoming a new creature, a new child of God, to walk in newness of life. Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16. That's how that we obey the gospel, the plan of salvation as it's presented to you and I. And it was prophesied century before that this would be the plan that our Lord and Savior would set before the apostles and for each one of us to be able to hear the word preached and to obey it. There's only one way to become a child of God, and that's to make that confession. One must believe, hear, repent, confess, and be baptized. There's no other way. For all of you out there that maybe are not members of the Church of Christ, you know that that's the only way. There's only one way. And we've caught that tonight from the Word of God. Very plain. But as is mentioned in the Scriptures, not only when they obeyed the gospel and were baptized, they were baptized that same day. You don't wait until a month from that day that you say, I believe, or whatever, to be baptized, or whatever they're going to do to you, sprinkle you, or whatever the others say they do. That's not baptism. One must be immersed in that watery grave of baptism. There's only one way to become a child of God. And that's in order to make that wonderful confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We find out from the Scriptures that later on, even in the household of Cornelius, that the Gentiles were taught the Scriptures, the same thing that Peter had preached previously. And we find that in Acts 11, chapter and verse 26, they were called Christians first at Antioch. Now let's consider some other things as we go along and continue and conclude our lesson. God is its builder in Hebrews 3 and verse 4. Christ is its Savior and Head, Ephesians 5 and verse 23. He gave himself for us, the church, Ephesians 5:25. Christ purchased it with his own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. The wisdom of God is known through the church, Ephesians 3:10. There is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all and in all, Ephesians 4:4-6. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Philippians 2:9-11. We are commanded to glorify God and by using the name Christians. We are, once we obey the gospel, we have the right to be called Christians. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, I hope you've heard the good news, the plan of salvation revealed as it was prophesied centuries before, and those things coming true as Peter preached that first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, waiting there until they received that power from on high to be able to preach that gospel sermon. Tonight, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, won't you find somebody tonight that maybe put you on this call, or someone close to you that some church that you go to, or get back with Brother Brooks, or get hold of me some way, and Brother Brooks knows how to do that, and let us know what we can do to help you to become a Christian. If you need further study, let us know. We'll be happy to study with you. And for tonight, consider these things that come from God's Word and nothing else. It's not what came from me, but these are things that came from the inspired Word of God. May God bless you and be with you, and are so thankful that you were with us tonight. Brother Tommy, I'll turn it back to you at this time.